Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Fix It with Faust here on Healthy Life Net, all positive talk radio. I'll be with you every second Thursday of the month, bringing you some of the most fascinating guests, all giving you invaluable information, some of which will absolutely change your life. The new Fix Yourself Handbook, the new Addiction Handbook, is almost ready. Look for that by mid-November. And we're starting the work already for the next book, which is the Fix Your Fear Handbook. So we'll keep you up to date on that. All the books in the Fix Your Self Empowerment series are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your local retailers. You can find everything you need about the Fix Your Self Empowerment series on my website at www.faustrogero.com. So today, everyone, I am thrilled to be spending time with someone who is an actress, executive producer, writer, and activist dedicating to using her platform to uplift marginalized voices through powerful storytelling. Sheila Houlihan has worked with a national organization such as National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention to take this organization, Transphere, a group dedicated to healing members of the South Asian community through the arts, and MI, to spread awareness about the reality of PTSD, depression, anxiety, and suicidal ideation. Sheila, welcome to Fix It with Faust.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here, truly.
You know, I looked at all the things you're doing, and there's a lot, and I'm thrilled to see people that are, you know, doing what I'm doing, getting really, get your hands dirty, get in there and get involved. So, needless to say, all this means a lot to you. How'd you get going with all of this?
Oh, goodness. That's a very layered question. I started off as kind of a kid performer in the music side of the industry, if you will, and was fortunate enough to grow up doing it. I had not really questioned, you know, is this even a thing? When you're a kid, right? When you're a kid, you do what your parents tell you, and that's about as much as you think about it. But as you start to get older, when it's something that you've always done, you start to ask questions about, well, is this really what I want, or am I just doing what I've always been told to do? I think I really am at my core an artist, a weird sort of creative type, and there's always been a fascination with story. There's always been a yearning to tell story. And as I got older and gained more life experience and started to have my own struggles with mental health, it became very clear to me what types of stories I wanted / really needed to tell.
You talk about struggles with mental health for you. Something you're willing to go into just a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Yeah, you know, it's been quite the journey. For a lot of elements of my childhood, I was very blessed, and then there were some where I was not. I think that is the case of most human beings. I struggled, I have memories and recollections of struggling with depression, anxiety, very mild childhood PTSD around the age of 11, really, is I think when things started to kick off for me, just right in time to align gorgeously with puberty.
Mm. Isn't that always a wonderful gift?
It's so great. You know, it's not like puberty itself is not hard enough to try to wrangle and figure out. And then on top of that, you've got fun mental health things that you're working through as well. Golly, I mean, I can give just a rap sheet of everything I've been diagnosed with, but I have overcome an eating disorder. I've overcome major depressive disorder. I've overcome severe crippling anxiety, panic attacks, and PTSD. I've overcome suicidal ideation, and I have come to a place of true joy and true peace. And it has taken a good chunk of my life to get here, but it's been worth it. It's a journey that is absolutely worth it, and that I'm passionate about speaking out on. It was a journey that I had familial support on, and at the same time, I really had to embark on my own because there was no precedence for it in my family. So I am, in a weird way, grateful for it. I mean, I think that's a big part of this all, right? Like, we look at mental health, we look at these different sort of conditions that you can be facing with, and there's understandable all types of negative emotion that comes up when you consider this diagnosis. There is grief, there is rage, there is anger, frustration, there is fear, there are all sorts of feelings that can bubble up, but at the end of the day, you have to accept what it is to be able to start to move past it and heal. And I have been privileged enough to do that, my goodness.
So nice to hear. You know, you mentioned PTSD at age 11.
Yeah.
Something horrible happened?
I mean, without going into too many specific details, I was not in the best environment for kids. It was a semi-professional environment, and some of the leadership of that environment was very abusive, both emotionally and physically abusive to me and some of the other kids. So when I think back on that time now as an adult, I think I'm more just shocked that so many adults knew what was going on and allowed it to happen. And my parents really had no idea. We've had a lot of conversations about that, which talk about a hard conversation topic to broach. But they really didn't know. I just knew that there was a lot of pain waiting for me after school. And it wasn't coming from my parents. It was coming from an environment that I was told I wasn't allowed to leave. So you make do, right, as a kid. I got really good at dissociating. I got really good at not being present or connected with myself. I got really good at finding ways to while the hours down so that I wouldn't have to be there anymore, for that day at least. And that went on for 12 years, honestly. But
a long time.
You know, I think things like that, especially when you're a kid, they do shape your life. They do shape how you think about the world. But it doesn't have to run your life, and I think that's the key. We can't change where we've been. We can't change what has happened to us, but we can change how we feel about it. We can change how we think about it. And we can dictate what ultimately runs our life. We can take our own lives back, and that is hugely important to tell others. So I commend you for telling folks this message.
Well, you know, and that's, I think, when looked at who we want to interview, and you know, I'm very kind of picky about that. I saw what you were doing, and, you know, I think I probably saw some of this, and I know in my own life I've experienced those kinds of things also. And, you know, the question, I think, is when you're young, you're at that level, those things are happening. For a lot of kids, they look at that as, this is what's normal in my life, or at least it's the norm, and the brain adjusts to it. And then later on, the movement toward what's healthy is very much undefined because the brain is adjusted to some other things. Did you experience that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, golly. deep question. 100% I did. It was normal, and I think that there was a period of time when I was an adult and just starting to go into college and starting to have, real young adult experiences where I didn't seek out the best people because, to me, that was a familiar pattern. I mean, it has taken years to unravel and almost relearn how to think, though I share with much enthusiasm and excitement that the brain actually does have the ability to physically heal from PTSD. It's to your point, what's really interesting about PTSD is they've been able to show that the brain actually changes physical shape and size when one goes through the type of trauma necessitated to have the PTSD diagnosis, right? Tier 1 trauma. I believe the frontal lobe shrinks and the amygdala expands.
Correct.
And in some cases, they've even found what looks like neural scar tissue on folks. The really awesome news is that they have found real science-backed methods to heal that and to actually help the brain re-expand the frontal lobe, shrink down the amygdala, and heal any sort of neural scar tissue, which is phenomenal. There are many things that you can do, whether it be, sort of guided exposure therapy. There is a lot of studies that yoga has been shown to actually help reset the brain, yoga and meditation. There is a lot that you can do to mitigate and reverse the actual physiological effects from living through that trauma, as though living through that trauma wasn't enough on its own. We also have to help heal our brains from it. It is a interesting joke, but at least we have the ability to heal, right?
Absolutely, and it's a great point that it's important for people to understand the trauma has happened, but the brain is a learning machine, and it does learn new patterns. And you're right. It's not only with PTSD. I do a lot of work with abused women, and we find that the structures in the brain change there, even without physical abuse. The brain physically undergoes changes. But those things can be reversed in time. The brain does learn, and the brain adjusts. However, we have to be able to put all the right things in place. So for you, it's an ongoing thing. It's not kind of I've arrived, I feel much better. You're understanding that this is a lifetime movement forward.
Yeah, I mean, yes and to that, right? So PTSD can always flare up again. It can always come back.
Very easily.
But I am very fortunate that I did DBT-PE therapy, which to explain that acronym to everybody listening, that is dialectical behavioral therapy. The P stands for something as well. The E, definitely prolonged exposure. There we go. So it's a prolonged type of exposure therapy. And what I love about it is it's not like other exposure-based therapy where it just focuses on one event, and then that one event you eventually desensitize to and get better from. It actually is a global event synthesizer, so you're able to process all trauma and traumatic events from your life and sort of come back to inferences so that your brain is able to sort through what happened. You can kind of think of trauma as though your brain was a bunch of filing cabinets, like a library of filing cabinets, right? And let's say the traumatic event happens and your little internal clerk gets very flustered and instead of filing the file correctly, drops it. And over time, every time they go to file other files, they might trip on that file on the floor and then drop another file. And this sort of compounds, right? This compounds over time and leads to maybe not the most ideal coping mechanisms and patterns and behavioral patterns. Well, what's really cool about DBT-PE is it actually helps you pick up all of those files and put them where they're supposed to be. So having done that therapy, that's helped tremendously. The events that I've gone through, they don't bother me in a typical PTSD anymore. I don't even fit the criteria anymore, which I'm very excited about. But to your point, I think the learning patterns, the ways that we feel about ourselves, behavioral patterns, those are ghosts that I keep fighting. There are still ways that I think about myself that, when I talk to my husband about my feelings, he's like, what in the world? what are you saying? Why would you feel that way? You have no reason to. And I'm like, right, and yet I do. And yet,
do you have an answer for him? When he says, why are you feeling that way? Do you know the answer?
Yeah, I'm like, this is residual trauma, right? Like, this is not how I actually feel about myself. This is not how I've ever felt about myself. But when those thoughts come up, they're coming up for a reason. They're coming up because there's an old learning history pattern there, and it just takes a lot of self-compassion, I've been reading and studying on self-compassion, and I highly recommend to folks the Mindful Self-Compassion workbook. self-esteem is one thing, right? Self-esteem is something that we get externally from others. That's how the external validation, whether it be an attaboy at work or whether it be an award. But self-compassion actually is long-lasting and comes from within. And it's there for you on the highs and it's there for you on the lows. I find myself using those skills all the time to not catastrophize. And I think that's the key, right? It's the catastrophizing that takes us back to unhealthy spaces. But if you're able to say, yep, this is a moment of suffering, this doesn't feel very good, and it's going to pass, then it doesn't have as much power over you.
No, it doesn't. You know, it's interesting. When I work with people with PTSD, one of the things I always tell them is to monitor the body, because sometimes it's not an emotion or a thought that came back to trigger the PTSD. It's a something physical. It's a physical sensation the body goes in, which then connects to something, and then the person takes off on that and starts thinking about it and starts ruminating. When I always tell people, go back to your body first and see if anything triggered there, because it may be nothing more than something physical that happened. Something,
wow.
And when that triggers, then it connects. But you can disconnect quickly by learning how to monitor your body in these kinds of things. And when it triggers, go back to your body first. Do you notice that when you go into, you know, one of these things where it's, your husband says, hey, geez, what's going on? Do you notice that there are some physical changes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't always notice in the moment, I'll be honest with you, but I have noticed, at the very least in retrospect and occasionally in the moment, like, oh, my heart is fluttering. Interesting. I wonder if that means anything. Or, this is interesting because this goes into acting, but there is a school of thought around acting that what you do with your body is going to inform how you feel. So if you've got a really big scene, like, here we go, it's your debut, and you've got a big scene, and you have to burst into tears, right? With that, you can do one of two things. You can either think of a whole bunch of things that might have made you sad at one point, and hopefully the tears will come. Or you can cave inward with your body. You can assume a really defeated form and hold that form for several minutes and just breathe through it, and they will come. It's so interesting, but where the body goes, the head follows, is what they say in martial arts. But with the head comes the mind, comes the psyche, comes the brain, comes our learning histories, right? Comes our identity. So exactly to your point, I haven't thought about it in those terms, and I'm excited to take that away from this and start to investigate more the next time those thoughts come up of, well, hold on, what's going on with my body? Let's analyze that first.
You know, people don't go there because there's typically no language attached to it. You feel, and that's it. But what I've told, you know, from what I teach is I say, okay, the body, as soon as you feel the body sensation, get cognitive about it. Get mindful, is what people like to say today. And put some language to what you're feeling, and then say, could this be what just triggered the way I feel? And it's interesting, when people come back, probably 8 out of 10 will say, yeah, that's really what did it first. And the thoughts did come, and I did go back and relive some things. But if I could have gotten to that body part before my brain and my emotions followed along, I think I could have cut into this. After a while, I find that they do. That doesn't mean we get past the traumatic event completely. It'll be there, but and we don't forget those things. However, we can begin to either detach or minimize our emotional investment in what's happening. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
PTSD gets very emotional very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're right, the head follows, the brain follows, and then the brain actually feeds into that. And again, I tell people, decide what you want to feed into here. You're going to put energy into something. Which way do you want it to go? So I always tell them, go body first, get that out of the way, and then go into what you're thinking and feeling. We tend to look at mental health, not only PTSD, in reverse. We go to the head first. Very often, it's the body that went first.
Wow. My goodness. People are so fortunate to get the work from you and learn from you. That's incredible stuff.
Well, and really it's simple. If you follow basic anatomy and physics and all those, the science part of it, it's always the body first.
Right.
The brain.
Wow.
The brain then kicks in. And you know, just as we explained, people with stronger bodies, people that exercise and do the yoga and the meditation, do things to take care of their bodies, they tend to have these problems less often and to mm-hmm. and they're less severe. So, you know, I look at all the things you're doing and, and getting the word out, you know, that part of it seems to be important. It sounds like you're doing that. Maybe you didn't make the complete connection, but the yoga's there, the meditation's there. I assume you know the effect it has on your body.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And you're right. That isn't the connection that I've made, but that makes perfect sense. And I think it is expounded on when you think of how people don't have the resources or the knowledge about why they should take care of their bodies. It's fascinating stuff to think about that. I mean, that, talk about a gold mine and a treasure trip. You got my wheels turning, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it works. And of course, maybe we can talk about it when we come back, but you know, we've talked about, okay, the body does trigger, but there are things to do physically when it starts to trigger, or even to read the signs of a triggered beginning to develop, because that's always there too. It's not abrupt. And so I train people to understand the signs, and then we put things in place to deal with them. So if you're okay, let's talk about that when we come back.
Yes, please.
All right. All right, everyone. We're going to take a few minutes, take a little break here. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with The Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FaustRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook today at FaustRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FaustRuggiero.com. Remember, it's the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Faust Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. That's FaustRuggiero.com. FaustRuggiero.com. Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy, it's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FaustRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Well, Welcome back to Fix It with Lost Everyone. We're talking with Sheila Houlihan today. You know, and when we left off, we were talking about some of that body stuff and, you know, how your body is that trigger that can tell you that something's gonna go off. Keep something in mind. Body and mind, you know, we tend to separate them, but there's a very reciprocal nature between them. The mind controls so much of what the body does, all the through the nervous system. It controls all the physical organs, all those kinds of things. And the body comes back and supplies the mind with all the energy. There's no way that any of them, what we call mental health conditions, are going to live just in your mind. When you understand that body connection and how to deal with that, that changes the way things work. So, Sheila, you and I were talking a little bit about you know, what you've done with that part of things. Share a little bit with us.
Oh, absolutely. So, again, being a lover and practitioner of DBT, Dialectical Behavioral Therapy, there are several skills that they actually teach you to be able to help rewire in the middle of a panic attack or a flashback or what have you. So just a quick DBT overview. What I like about it so much is they sort of break up different skill groups into three different segments. So imagine a thermometer, all right, and divide this thermometer into thirds. In that top third, you're really quite emotionally flooded, right? Imagine the thermometer going all the way to the top and just breaking heat records. You're at your most flooded emotionally. That middle third, I mean, it's still pretty intense, but you can sort of get your mind a little bit partially around what it is that you need. And the bottom third, they reserve for interpersonal communication. I remember when I learned that, my mind was blown. Because here I was trying to communicate to people when I was super duper emotionally flooded. Needless to say, no wonder I wasn't making any sense. I was too emotionally spun up, too much in my panic to be able to actually share and articulate a coherent thought. Now, when you're in that top third, what can you do? Well, it depends on how flooded you are. There are several different things that I learned, but going back to what you're saying about the body, there were two things that really helped. One was intense exercise. So what DBT recommends you do in the middle of a panic attack is actually some really high intensity, you know, they call them HIIT workouts, movement to physically get those sensations out of your body. Whether that means you're going to go run really hard sprints for 5 minutes or whether that means you're going to do jumping jacks till you drop or something like that, just to literally expel that energy and get it out of your body. Another thing that they would recommend that I loved, and this was really like, if you are so flooded, you can't even get yourself to do that. You are a mess of nerves on the floor. Like, if your body is in that much fight or flight, what they would recommend you do is you get it to your bathroom sink, you fill it with cold water, you plug it up so that the whole sink is nice and full, you put in some ice so that water gets cold, you take a big breath, and you plunge your face into it for 15 seconds. And what that will actually do is force your heart to slow down. This is all science and evidence-based treatment. It will force your pulse to slow down and get it so that you can start to use some other techniques to help ground yourself and get back into the here and now. Boy, that ice trick has been a lifesaver. I can't even tell you about it. I mean, if you don't, by the way, have access to a sink, you can always take an ice pack and put it over your cheekbones and hold your breath for 15 seconds. It won't be quite as effective, but it'll get the bare minimum job done for you in those times of extreme distress. Knowing like, okay, this is something that is physiological and I need to treat my body first before I can start to treat my mind was a game changer for me, really. Because every time before that, I would try to treat it, to your point, as a mental problem. I would say, okay, well, obviously I need to have a conversation about this with the person who said something that was really upsetting or did something upsetting, or I need to solve it. This is a problem that I need to solve, and I need to solve it immediately. No, you don't. You don't need to solve anything immediately. What you need to do is take care of yourself first and foremost so that you are able to think through the problem and see, one, can it even be solved? Two, what is the best way for my own health, my own safety, and my own well-being, and my own sense of self to go about solving that problem.
You know, what you just talked about, it's on a very important point, which is being able to slow your mind down a little bit so you can connect with your body.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in my profession, what we've trained people to think, try to think through things. And you'd be surprised. I think 80%, 85% of people that do what I do are still trying to make people think through it first. And that's where the problem is. Because if you're stuck in it, and you said it before, you get emotional. You can't talk through things because the emotions connect, they connect back to the body, which is more primal. Right? So you're trying to reason through things. You've really got to get to the point where you put a little gap in there where you say, okay, what am I thinking here? What am I doing? Let me look at what's going on. That gives you a chance to slow some things down and start making connections. You know, that ice thing you said, I have people that when they get anxious or depressed, they turn the shower on as cold as it can be, and they go stand under it. And I remember someone telling me this, 30 years ago, it was a veteran came out of the service. He said that's what they used to do. They'd run in a lake and it was freezing. It was in Germany somewhere, and they would scream in the lake. They'd come out and they would feel a whole lot better. So yeah, there is scientific proof to back all of that up. But we're back to that whole body thing first and foremost. I have people that come in with anxiety, and once I train them to recognize the symptoms that are beginning to happen, the anxiety doesn't happen.
Wow, that is so cool.
You know,
goodness.
And it comes in two steps. The first step is they begin to record, okay, my stomach's tightening, or my head's beginning to throb, or my breath is changing. After a while, that's still retroactive. They get proactive to the point where they say, I know I'm going to start with the stomach. I know I'm going to start changing my breathing. And they're way ahead. And you know how it goes. If you can stop an anxiety attack way before it starts, it will stop. You won't have it.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. This is such a treasure trove of information. I'm really excited to go take this back into my life. I'll have to report back.
Well, and it's nice. You know, you have the background. You have the experiences. When I talk to people who have experiences like yours, you know where to go with it. And, you know, so then while you're out talking to people and you have, you know, the type of platform to do that, people will listen. That's just so important.
Well, and to your point, you know, there's another piece that I neglected to mention, but I think is one of the most important ones, because sometimes when it's locked up in your body, you know, and you don't necessarily feel the strength to get up and go do all the things you were talking about, how do you get it out? And I'll talk about that when we come back here more in length, but the short version is this is where sometimes creativity can really make a big lasting impact.
Let's do that. We're going to take a break, everyone, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, so please stay with us.
Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Foss Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook today at FossRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FossRuggiero.com. Remember, it's the Fix Yourself Handbook at FossRuggiero.com.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FossRuggiero.com.
Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy, it's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FastRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Faust Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. That's FaustRuggiero.com. FaustRuggiero.com. It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with The Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FaustRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Fix It with Faust, everyone. We are talking with Sheila Houlihan today. And when we left off, we were talking about how to deal with all these difficult times in our life, and Sheila was hitting on creativity. Expand on that a bit, Sheila. How have you used that in your life? What is it? How does it connect to the processes we're looking to include in our lives to feel a little bit better?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'd be remiss to not mention the power of creation in the middle of these really, really dark moments that people have. Because here's the thing, right? Let's say you're out and about and you don't have access to a sink or an ice pack. Let's say you're out and about and it would look very silly to suddenly do intense exercise. Or maybe you have some type of physical disability or other type of disability where that sort of body intense based work is just not something within your accessibility, right? Or maybe you are just so sad and so forlorn and so lost that you're willing to throw in the towel and you're too tired to get up and do something like that. And I get it because I've been there. How do you then get it out of your body? For me, it was writing. It was creation. It was putting pen to paper and making something to fully expel it from my body. That started for me as poetry. It turned into scripts. Sometimes it was a comic. Sometimes it was, you know, what have you. Creating these worlds born of my own experience, born of my own pain. I mean, they always say write what you know, right? That's the number one lesson in writing and creative writing, as it were. And I don't think it's a coincidence that so many different franchises that we love were born out of either people's individual pain or joy. I really do believe this is what separates human beings from other creatures, is that we have this ability to joyfully create. And when I say joy, I don't mean happy. I think this is important. This may be my own personal belief, and folks may disagree, but it helps me when I'm trying to be more present. Happiness and sadness are emotional states. Depression and joy, to me, have always been physical states. You can be happy and still be physically depressed. You can be sad and still be physically joyful, because in your sadness, you are present and you are truly relishing getting to be present in this one unique life that we are blessed enough to live, right? Even if the experience is unpleasant in that moment, there is still a joy in being present to that unpleasant experience. So I say this because I do believe that all creation comes from a pure and a joyful place, and sometimes it is simply the act of, I am writing it down, I am externalizing it and getting it out of my head and putting it somewhere else that can give an incredible amount of freedom and clarity when you're going through it, right, when you're in the middle of the ringer. So I cannot stress enough that so much of my own body of work that I've made, you know, not just participated in as a performer, but, you know, projects like Night Mother on Twitch that I created were born from this primal need to get this pain outside of me, put it somewhere where people can look at it if they want. It doesn't even matter if they never look at it, right? But knowing that I'm sure there are folks out there who would look at that art and say, oh my God, this person has spoken to me. Yes, me too. This is what I feel, and this is something that I've been through. Knowing that it could have that effect inspired me to keep pushing and keep creating, even when it all felt like it was too much and I wanted to throw in the towel. It's a very, very powerful thing that pretty much anybody can do, no matter where they're at, and I think really is indeed all of our gifts.
You know, you've touched on something that I've always talked about. You know, I'm a process person. People know what they've read with me. Everything I do is about how to master the processes. When you talk about creativity, you're talking about a higher order process, in which, you know, we talk about it separates us from animals. Well, it's higher order, which means it requires more intellectual and more creative energy. It's higher order. The higher order, the higher the order of the process, the more positive energy it has the potential to generate. So when everyone, when you are doing these creative things, creative doesn't. Please try not to compare this with, you know, the person that won the Academy Award. That's not what you're dealing with. You know, don't get yourself caught up in that comparison or that envy mode. The creativity is what applies to you. So, you know, if you write, Sheila said, well, I had this stuff, I'm good at this, and I wanted to get this out. That's what I do in my writings. I know what I'm into. I know this is my forte. I know much about it. So when I write, you know, it's very cathartic, but it's higher order. So it allows me to connect to energy sources in me that are and have a tremendous amount of positive energy. So when you're doing these things, when you're talking about creativity, and whether it's writing or it's acting or it's singing or it's playing sports or whatever you choose to do, it could be knitting, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If you're connecting there, you will feel the positive energy. And it not only does it kind of move you away from negative feelings, it changes the way your life develops if you keep on doing it, because positive energy and that infusion of that energy into the brain continues to nurture it at a different level. That's what makes the change, if that makes sense to all of you.
Wow.
So
you
keep on, you know, the more time you spend, and you should spend time with creative things every day. It doesn't have to be you set aside. Sometimes it's what you're thinking, but it's getting creative. It's producing something with intellectual. It's actually, as you get higher order in this, it's spiritual energy is really what it is. That connects to the essence of all of us. But I'm really thrilled that you brought this out, because this works, and for those that can do this, it's not only an escape. It is a life-changing enterprise if you're willing to use your creativity.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, you just put it in a whole new way for me, where now I just cannot go. I cannot wait to put pen to paper after this. But you're right. I mean, you hit on something really important here that is, I feel compelled to share on. Don't compare yourself to the person who won the Academy Award. Oh, my goodness. In this society, we are so weirdly transfixed by celebrity, by that, like, 1% of creator or inventor or just innovator, right? We are so obsessed with that, of saying, oh, well, it has no value because it didn't get any views, or it has no value because it didn't get any awards. Well, you know, people, there were millions, thousands of years where people were creating and they weren't getting any recognition for it. I mean, that's not the point. We don't create for recognition. Anything that I've done that has been of value was not created for recognition. And I can tell you, I can guarantee it, that when I have done anything for recognition, it fell flat. Guaranteed. It's not what it's about at all. We're here you know, without getting too existential, life is not about attaboys, and life is not about these awards and rewards for doing things. Life is just life. Life is a beautiful thing that we are all lucky enough to get to experience. And this is another way that you can sort of transmute those experiences into something more positive for yourself. And, you know, awesome on you if folks get to experience it and are healed in turn. I think there's no better feeling. I can speak to that myself. But that's not the thing that we chase. We just create to create.
It's always about the work. I always tell the story of when I published my first book and I did all this work and I felt so great about it and published it, and then you get your author's copy in the mail and it came and I was waiting, oh, this is going to be great. I looked at it and I felt nothing, and I had no idea why. Later on, I went back into writing. I was working on the second book and all the good feelings came back. The finished product wasn't the creativity. That ended. What was creative, what made me feel, was the writing. So think about this, people.
Wow.
Creativity all the time, but just get your own kind. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and wrap things up with Sheila Houlihan, so be with us.
Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FosterRuggiero.com. Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy. It's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FosterRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with the Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FosterRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of the Fix Yourself Handbook now.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Faust Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. That's FaustRuggiero.com. FaustRuggiero.com. Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook today at FaustRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FaustRuggiero.com. Remember, it's the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. We're having a great discussion with Sheila Houlihan today. And, you know, and when we closed out the last session, we were talking just a little bit about creativity. And so, Sheila, you mentioned you have a kind of example in your own life.
I do, yeah. So when everything was happening in lockdown in 2020, right, I, as an artist, was acutely aware that, you know, months are going by. I don't think this thing is wrapping up anytime soon. Quick aside, remember when we all thought it was a two-week vacation? I literally packed for a two-week vacation to go stay with my folks. Several months later, I was admitting to myself that that was not actually what was happening in our society. And I reached out to a really dear friend of mine, an incredibly famous, internationally renowned voice actress who's also just like another mother to me, and said, "Hey, Ellen, you want to kick around a play on Zoom just so that we don't get rusty? Because who knows when this thing is going to end." She brought back a play by Marcia Norman, a Pulitzer Prize winning play called Night Mother, that was really an important play to me while I was going through the worst of my own stuff, and said, "Hey, what about this? It's a two-woman show. We could work on it together." Well, that ended up being the start of her and I concocting, and at the end of the day, her following me down this total harebrained scheme of mine, where I created a new type of art that was a hybrid of live performance and film, that was a new type of adapting, if you will, pre-existing work. And we created this incredibly special, moving piece that garnered an international audience and really took to the skies. But I have to share, that's not why we did it, right? I mean, goodness, this was all self-funded on a nothing budget. It's not like I went and raised tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars for this thing to go down. It was something that I just did with my own money, very, very little of it. I think the total budget was laughable if you compare it to the things that we hear about movie budgets to this day. It was very indie and very sort of homegrown. But, you know, quick summary of the play, Night Mother is about a daughter who has decided, you know what, I am going to commit suicide, but I want one more conversation with my mother before I do. I want an honest, take the masks off conversation where we're not mother and daughter, we're just two souls, two spirits, trying to find connection. So, you know, trigger warnings therein as it comes to the material. But while we were working on it, I was like, my goodness, you know, I've felt these feelings, and I'm so scared of all of the millions of people who are feeling it for the first time and can't go get help right now, right? That kept me up at night. So we reset it to being a Zoom conversation because, one, then we could stay socially distanced from each other, but I think it was also poignant of the time. We ended up partnering with all of these different incredible organizations like the NAASP, with NAMI, with the Trevor Project, to sort of provide access, or even with the Calm app. We still have a discount running on my website with the Calm app for anybody who watches the show, to provide the audience a place of hope, a place to go if they go, wait, crap, this is me too. I'm now left with these horrible feelings. I never want to end a program like that on that dark note. I want to end it in a note of positivity, and here's what you can do, and here's how we can push forward, and you're not alone. It was born out of my desire for people to never feel the way that I felt in my darkest moments, and it ballooned into this whole thing. I mean, we've screened in over 18 countries. I won a Webby Award. My whole team won a Webby Award and 3 Webby nominations. That's an Academy Award. We went to the Cannes Film Festival. Like, it was this incredible wild ride that we're still, languishing in a lot of ways. It was a wonderful thing. But at the end of the day, it wasn't born of that. It was born of me wanting to look at my worst demons in the face and say, I'm actually going to look you in the eye, I am going to embody you, and I am going to be okay, gosh darn it. Having to physically take on the identity of somebody with those types of intentions and with that type of plan almost every day for a period of 14 months. Talk about exercising feelings from yourself. It's not something that I would necessarily recommend to everybody, but because it was incredibly confronting. Definitely do it with others. Do it with a guide if that's what's calling to you. But in a really cool and profound way, I was able to show others a better way and simultaneously heal myself. And I think that is the magical power of creation, of creativity, of that higher order activity that you were speaking to, that I think makes life special.
You know, and I've seen the film. Everyone, it's a great film to watch. And I think that's on your website, is it not?
Yes, you can find the link to the website. You can also go on to twitch.tv and look up Night Mother on Twitch, and that should pop up.
And do so, people. Give you an idea of what it's like for the creative process. Again, it may not be it may be more intense for than most of you might do in your own life, but it gives you an idea. And just as Sheila said, I also use that pandemic to say, okay, I'm going to be at home, and, you know, I'm okay with me. I'm happy. It doesn't matter if I'm out or I'm home. That's great. But I decided that's when I was really going to take off and develop this program that I'm offering and just not get down the doldrums and think about what I can't do. It's what I can do. So, Sheila, this has been great. Where can people find you? What kind of things can they get involved in with you?
Oh, I love this. Okay, so first of all, you can find me on Instagram. I think at this point that is the one social media platform that I stay relatively engaged with. You can also find me on my website, www.sheila.com. SheilaHoulihan.com. Don't go to Sheila.com, ladies and gentlemen. Go to SheilaHoulihan.com. And with the contact page, you'll find a way to reach out to me. Just let the folks know that you found this through the radio show, and I'll make sure that it gets to me so that we can continue to have a conversation. I actually also work with folks on the creative process, and if you have a type of idea like this, how do you want to see it manifest? I work with folks on that all the time, so I am here as a resource if this type of journey calls to you, and wishing everybody a joy-filled present life. You've got this.
So it's been an absolute pleasure. So, everyone, that concludes this week's Fix It with Foss radio show here on Healthy Life Net, all positive talk radio. In a month from today, I'll be back with another episode of Fix It with Foss, so don't miss us. 1 month from today, that's December 12th, at noon, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Until then, be well, stay safe, everyone. Have fun creating your world, and here's to the power inside you. God bless.